B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4 o'clock hour. Mike and Snow Show is brought to you by Landis Block in the 4th o'clock hour. Your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. Finally, baseball is tangible. We can touch it a little bit. There are still some things we need to iron out. And to get through those things, it's calling the man who covers the Phillies for the Philadelphia Inquirer. His name is Matt Breen, Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Hello, Matt. Congratulations. I understand you just came off paternity leave.
I did. Back to work just in time.
Very nice. So tell us about your child.
He's good. His name's Max. Born on May 8th. Big kid. And just getting used to it. I feel like I don't really appreciate parenting until you're in it. And now it's like, holy crap, how do people do this?
Yeah. Well,
but every day we're surviving and advancing, and every day gets better.
So awesome.
It's been a lot of fun.
I like Max as a name for a boy, though. That's nice
stuff.
All right, let's talk about the baseball situation here. And we finally have some guidelines. We can put it into focus. So, what do you think about the protocol that they are using to spread this game? All the little nuances with the wet rag and the rules for the touching the baseball and all these kind of things. Did they get it right?
Yeah, they thought of everything you possibly could think about is in that 101-page manual. I read it in the middle of the night last night when it came out, and it's ridiculous because of how detailed it is, but it's really... Every thought, everything that could possibly pop up is in there. And it's really going to come down to the players and the coaches and the families of the players and coaches and how they live their lives for the next 3 months. And that's what's going to determine if the virus, can spread throughout the clubhouse or not. Because everything that the league is, the protocols, if you follow the protocols, you should be all right. But it's not that simple. It's not that cut and dry. And I think it's going to be extremely difficult to make this work.
Really? Okay, so we're talking about people going out on their own, which is the honor system. And baseball has not really put down some instruction on what they would do or how many positive tests it would take to close the ballpark or to stop a team from competing. I assume they're still discussing that, but what do you think of the honor system in general?
Yeah, if you're not going to have a bubble, that's really the only other way you do it is that, you leave it up to the players. But there's a lot of, honor system, and there's 28 guys in the clubhouse, 30 guys at the start of the season, and coaches and managers, and it's going to be tough. You're going to go home, and then they're going to interact with their family who may have been out, may have gotten the virus. You see how quickly it spread in Clearwater, and it didn't spread because of what happened in the complex. It happened because of what happened outside of the complex.
So
then you're going to be traveling to other cities, and it's going to be tough.
So you don't sound optimistic that they can pull this off. You see, are we more likely to see a stoppage of this if things, catch on and players get affected?
I think it's going to come down to how comfortable the league is to players getting sick. Like Charlie Blackman, one of the best players in baseball last night, tested positive for coronavirus. You're going to see that a lot throughout the season, that guys are testing positive. It's just how comfortable are you with superstars or large groups of players testing positive at the same time. And I was told with the Phillies, when I read that last week, right, it was like a punch to the gut. I'm like, that's it. Season's over. And I talked to somebody this weekend, and they were like, no, because we expected that. The league expected that. It wasn't like a total shock that six players tested positive, because they're prepared for that. So now it's just how much can you stomach as the season goes on? And I love sports. I love the game of baseball, but I just think it's not going to be the same when you're following it every day. And it's the news of the day is who tested positive or what team is being affected the most by the coronavirus. It's going to be weird. And I don't know. I would, I have a hard time envisioning a World Series, you know, that this whole thing's going to play out smoothly.
I can't believe that Major League executive haven't discussed this possibility. I was reading a story where an epidemiologist says what you're going to look for is 2, 3, 4 cases in rapid succession, and that suggests you may have spread within the team, and that suggests that you may have to shut down that team for 2 weeks. And if you do that, they're done. I mean, they're all forfeit. So, Major League Baseball has to have something they're talking about in this kind of a situation. No?
Well, they have. So the Phillies are going to have 2 sites. They're going to have like a Philadelphia team of 40 players, and they're going to have a 20 man group elsewhere, and probably in Allentown, mm-hmm. if not closer. And so that's kind of how you're setting yourself up for if there's a big group of players in Philly that get sick. Well, you just call in the Allentown guys or wherever they're at, and reinforcements. So maybe that's how they're going to address it, but. It's already people are up in arms as the 60-game season. And now if you're talking about a 60-game season played with, you know, reinforcement players or teams that have to forfeit because they all got sick, that's like the nightmare scenario. But it's not, you know, every day in the sports world, you're seeing people are getting sick. So it's not – the nightmare scenario isn't that crazy. It's very likely because of how strong we know about this virus.
So these 20 players that would be in Allentown, like, what are they doing? Just working out there?
Working out. They can play games against each other. They can't play games against other teams. And there'll be a coaching staff there. They'll be living in that area. They'll be under the same testing, getting their temperature checked twice a day, getting a blood test every other day. And they'll be getting that just like the Philadelphia group will be getting. They'll be getting it out there.
Wow. All right. Let's talk about like the best case scenario and they pull this thing off. So now you have the 2 tweaks, the universal DH and the extra inning rule. What do you think about both of those? And do they have a chance to survive in the future?
The DH, I'm like a baseball purist where if you asked me this 3 years ago, I would have said, no, you know, I love the strategy and I love the pitchers batting and pinch hitting. It's kind of the point where it's so stupid. The pitcher should not hit. Give me the DH. It's about time. That's what you want to see that. You don't want to see a pitcher bat. You want to see an extra, bat in the lineup and it's about time. So I'm glad they're doing it. And I would say that it's not on the books for 2021. But I bet it happens anyway.
What would prevent that from happening? These National League, the old National League people count on the tradition and they abhorred the DH in the past. That you think that they're all on board now?
Yeah, I don't understand what the holdup is because the players, I believe, would want that because it's an extra job mm-hmm. where you're getting a DH on a team and it's more money or for like a DH. Player can right now only negotiate with American League teams, but if you have that in both leagues, then that guy has a bigger market to make more money. So I think it's a no brainer. It's just all about we just saw these two sides negotiate, so nothing is simple. And with the extra inning rule, I don't know. It's kind of hokey, but for a shortened season where it's 60 games and you don't want to be playing into the night. That's fine, too.
All right, so you don't think that will survive for the future?
No, I don't. Okay. I think that's like a special, We'll call that the coronavirus seasonal.
All right. You also had a story today, and I agree with you 100%, about now that the roster are going to be 30, that Spencer Howard and Alec Bohm have to be on it because, they have to play against people. So I agree with you. How does this burden the Phillies, and do you think that they will both be on the roster?
I do. I would be shocked if Alec Bohm or Spencer Howard play another minor league game in their life. They have to be on the team. And there's multiple reasons why. Matt Klentak said when they hired Joe Girardi, it's time to win now. So if it's time to win now, you can't send your 2 top prospects at positions of need to not even the minor leagues, to wherever they're going to go. And then we're talking about salary arbitration and how you can control that. These guys are 24 years old. I mean, What years are we talking about? You actually want them right now. You don't want them when they're 34 years old. These are the prime years that you want. So, yeah, you would lose a year at the back end of 6 years from now, but this is when you want them. So, and it's, if you're serious about winning, you're not trying to manipulate service time right now. You're trying to win a 60-game season, get to the playoffs for the first time in almost 10 years. It's a no-brainer.
All right. So, with that said, then, let's just talk about Howard. If he's going to be on the roster, would they give him a chance to be a starter in this rotation?
Yeah, and the starting rotation, it could be a six-man rotation. That's the thing. It's not a natural opening day where these guys had 6 weeks in Clearwater to build up for it. You're starting in the middle of the summer on a 3-week spring training. Pitchers might not be able to go deep in the games, so you might need six starters, or you might need a piggyback starter where Spencer Howard is coming in at like in the third inning, and you know that going in that he's coming in the third inning for Zach Eflin because he's not built up yet. So I think he's at least going to have a chance to be in the rotation. He makes your rotation better, but at the very least, he's pitching impactful innings out of the bullpen.
All right, we'll see what happens with him. Last thing is, the over-unders were set today. The Phillies are ranked fourth in the division. When you look at this team, and everything is really dependent on a quick start, I think, in this 60-game schedule. Do they have this pitching staff that can get them off to a good start? And do they have a realistic chance of doing anything in this kind of a scenario?
Yeah, and I saw the over-unders, and they were real close, right?
Yeah, they were, except for the Marlins, so, yeah.
Even though they're in fourth place, I mean, I think it was like 3 games out of first.
Yeah.
And they're right in the mix of it, but to me, it's going to come down to their bullpen. It's so hard to think back to where our heads were at when we were in Clearwater, but that was the big thing was, this team still don't have a bullpen. And the starting rotation certainly was flawed and thin, but you at least had Zach Wheeler added to it. But 6 weeks, they still have the same shaky bullpen they had when they were in Florida. So I think that's going to be a problem, especially in a short season where, you know, you can't afford to lose, you know, back-to-back-to-back games because your bullpen blew it. And you're going to need more bullpen help because of the way that the starting rotation isn't really stressed out yet. So if they can somehow figure that out, then that's a big, big reason. But I would say right now going into it, that's the most glaring concern.
All right. Baseball's back, Matt. Saddle up.
It is. Wash your hands, Mike.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate
it. Take care. Thank you.
All right. There's Matt Breen covering the Phillies. He's back to covering baseball, but not at the park, I assume. Like what? What would these journalists do? What's the rules for those guys?
I'm not sure.
I think that they're allowed in the building, but not the clubhouse or not the locker room after. And then,
so like where are they talking to players?
I think there's like a single pool reporter, and then everybody gets the statements or something.
Yeah,
they set something up, and they have to be gone 1 hour after the game,
so they can. They can be in the press box separated and wearing masks.
But they have to be gone an hour afterwards, and there'll be, a single reporter or single somebody that will get quotes or get information on the day of the games so that every writer, local writer, can write about it.
It's interesting. Not that anybody cares, but that press room thing is catered, and there's food and... So I assume they would eliminate that and just have like packaged food for anybody who wants. They can't have people there serving.
I mean, right? I doubt they might not even offer food.
Or it might be, or it could
probably,
be
well, probably packaged sandwiches or something.
Box lunch.
Yeah, your own thing. There's a lot of people who think that buffets, and I'm not wishing this on anybody who owns a buffet or anything. There's are people who think that buffet style things may have to go away because of some experiments where it looks like that would be a hotbed for spread. Because think about it, you grab the ladle, you go to the next thing, you grab a different one, you go to the next, and then the person right behind you grabs one, et cetera, et cetera. They say that is like ripe to spread infection.
Oh, man, they know how much that's going to hurt the media.
And they say...
Oh, man, because they're so used to pigging out.
and the Phillies offer the ice cream.
And apparently it's
the Grand Slam.
They had three trip. Yeah. That's three chip territory for those guys.
Yeah, it is.
The Grand Slam.
On a nice, warm summer evening, you go load up on ice cream.
Load up. with two scoop, I forgot his name. Good dude. The older guy that's been back there. They call him Two Scoop somebody. Ah, damn. My bad. But let's go to Bob in Tennessee. Bob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob.
Hi, Mike.
Hello, Bob.
About baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to watch one game just to see what it looks like, and then I'm done. Now, having said that, which is certainly not related to the next subject is that as a Southern gentleman, I, without protest, give you all latitude to make fun of Tim McCarver anytime you want to.
Well, now, he's a Tennessean too, isn't he?
I don't know. I think
he is. I think Tim McCarver comes from Tennessee, Bob.
I hope not. Anyway, that's my saying about that.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to say that you and Ty and Nat are the very best. And what you guys have done through this corona has been like just the highest rung of the ladder possible. It is so, so good for everybody. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. Yeah, Tim McCarver is from Memphis, Bob.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well,
I don't like it. I never did like it. I thought it's funny and stupid, but other than that, you know.
I was growing up in the game, we used to take broomsticks to the ballpark and play with rolls of tape.
Right. That's what they did. Exactly. Anyway, I don't play that game. Give me a question.
All right, here we go. Let's go with...
Now, give me an easy one.
Well, these are all easy today. These are ridiculously easy.
No, they're not.
Yes,
no, they're
yes
not.
They are. This one's a movie, general knowledge.
For
crying out loud.
For crying out loud. Hey, I thought Bach played the piano. Then I find out it's the clavier and or a harpsichord or...
So it was an organ.
Or an organ, yes.
All right.
Any sort of keyboard instrument.
All right, anyway. Here's your question. With the multiple choice, you can't lose. Which of the following movies helped make Steve Guttenberg a star? Was it A, Porky's, B, The Color Purple, or C, Police Academy?
I would say that'd be Police Academy.
That is correct, Bob. A rose is coming your way for your sweetheart.
Great. I love you guys.
All right. Hold on a second there, Bobby.
A little rose for Brenda.
Brenda's getting a rose.
Yay.
And a rose is down there in Tennessee.
Nice little gold-dipped rose. She'll love it.
I was growing up. We didn't have gold-dipped roses. We had to go sneak into the neighbor's yard where one rose bush was there, an old lady named Kate.
What?
Make it up as I go along.
The Jersey thing that you mentioned, Mike,
mm-hmm.
Guy emailed me, said that Joe Piscopo, who I did once open for at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick.
Did you?
Yeah. He goes to Devil's games in a Devil's jersey with Piscopo on the back.
Joe does?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a total... I mean, that's worse than a regular guy doing that.
Yeah.
Come on, Joe.
You
got anything to say about Joe Piscopo?
Yeah, I actually had met him a few times before that. Nice guy.
Good dude?
Nice guy.
Yeah?
Good.
No, not a good dude?
Listen, he was good to me. Like, I'm saying, I think he's the many divorces.
Yeah.
And some of the circumstances of the divorces is why I just don't go with good. But nice guy, and he definitely did not have to let me open for him. Like, definitely not. He extended himself to do that.
Did he?
Yeah, he absolutely did. Because no one was there. They were there to see him. The place was sold out. So, and my act is very different because his act is really, really clean. Good. And mine wasn't dirty, but it wasn't as clean
Joe's
as his.
Act is clean?
It's very clean.
Really?
I don't think he curses at all anymore.
Oh.
And he does some of the singing.
He still performs as a stand-up?
I mean, this was not recently. This was...
So what do you remember most about Joe Piscopo? Like, if somebody says Joe Piscopo, what comes to your head?
Well, the Ebony and Ivory thing, right?
Boom. He and Eddie at the piano.
Yeah. And they said that Eddie used to get his impressions at, like, real quick, and Joe used to work really hard at it, and Eddie couldn't wrap his mind around why it was so hard for him.
All right, Joe Piscopo.
But I mean, Joe had a long career.
He's been in a ton of Law and Orders.
Yeah, he has.
Seen him in Law and Order.
Listen, he's been a working actor for 40 some years.
Yeah.
That alone, you get credit for.
Yeah. Good job, Joe. The guy I'm thinking about at the presser is Frankie Two Scoops. That's how his name's Frankie.
Oh, there you go, Frankie.
They call him Frankie Two Scoops because he loads up the ice cream, and he's meaty dudes. So they wear out the carpet getting to that station.
Yeah, they do.
Let's go, Mark in Washington Township. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
Hey, Mike and Mesh.
What's up, Mark?
Couple questions on the extra inning rule and then a strategy similar to the one that Ty said.
Mm-hmm.
So you got ninth inning, two outs, guy on first. He gets thrown out trying to steal second. He would be the player to start the 10th inning on second base?
That's the way it's written. Guy made the last out.
Okay, well, guy makes him down first base. Batter puts one in the gap. He gets guy on first, gets thrown out at the plate trying to score.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't be able to take the double away from the guy to just put one in the gap because the guy got thrown out at the plate. So it'd have to be the guy that hit the double to start at second, right?
No.
But he would have to bat again and lose his double.
Why is he going to bat again?
If you throw a guy out on the third out trying to score.
Yeah, but why is the guy that hit the ball at the bat again? His at bat was the hit.
Yeah, so the guy that was at the plate would start at second base, correct?
The guy who got thrown out at the plate.
No, the runner's already on first. The batter puts one in the gap.
Yeah.
The guy from first tries to score.
Yeah, he's the third out.
So you're telling me the guy that gets thrown out of the plate starts at second?
That's the way the rule's written. Who else would it be?
I would think it would have to be the batter because he should still get credit for hitting the double.
He is getting credit for hitting the double. He didn't make the last out.
Well, he technically didn't make the last out. The guy from first made the last out.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. So why would the guy who hit the double be the guy you put on second base?
Well, if you were to have him lead off again, so
he wouldn't lead off again. He wouldn't lead off. Wait, why are you saying he's going to lead off? His at-bat was used up. He hit the double. He doesn't get the bat again.
Okay, so the guy after him would lead off the next inning, but the guy thrown out at the plate would start on second.
Yes.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
The strategy similar to Ty's is sounds like this rule might only be in place for this season, but with the expanded rosters, I think every team should go out and get one of the speedsters, like you said. And even if you can't do the pinch runner situation, you have them pinch hit in the ninth inning with two outs. You get that speedster, you try to get them to slap somewhere, you know, slap single, bunt single, something like that. If he gets on, you try to get him to steal second. Now, any case of those scenarios that he gets out, you still starting off the speed guy at second. And then we go to your strategy about now the pitcher's going to have to keep him from stealing third.
Yeah.
Which leads to a sack fly.
Yeah, I would assume they have to iron that whole thing out. But it seems simply written. The guy who makes the last out is the runner on second base. And then you can't mess with that in any form. I'm gonna text Jason Stark during the break and find out. Let me give you a general knowledge question.
Please.
It's general knowledge for dummies. All right. So here we go. What type of person uses a stethoscope?
That would be a doctor.
That is correct. That's why it's general knowledge for dummies.
You get a rose. Everybody
yes.
gets a rose.
Got a stat for you on the other side, Mike, regarding the odds of scoring with a guy starting in extra innings on second base.
Yeah.
There's actually a stat I can give you on the other side.
There are some old school baseball people that don't like that rule, by the way. I just heard from old school.
Oh, you did? Uh-oh.
Yeah. Sarcastically, he says, well, let's really go off the grid and put the 10-run rule in effect, just like Little League.
Oh.
Oh, man.
All right. In any event. It's just for 60 games. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons, and this is our update at 4:30 with Natalie Agonoff. Nat?
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll, over 400 votes on this one so far. Are you excited about the rule changes for the 2020 baseball season? 45% say yes, 55% say no. So,
all right. So I just checked with Jason Stark on the rule. So regarding the third down and ninth being the runner on second and the 10th, the manager can pinch run for that player, for that guy with a faster player. So now this brings into question the legs of one Roman Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first of all, you're trying to win a game in regulation, right?
Right.
So you can't choose to save him for that moment anyway. Like if there's a moment in the game where you have to pinch run, he would get the call. Like, now managers have to figure out whether they want to save him for a potential 10th inning, which nobody would do if you could use a guy in a certain position during the game to help you.
Yeah, they're planning on using him with Haseley in center field. But I don't know in their single A, double A, and triple A, do they have a guy who hits 180, 200, but it's really
and
fast?
And you would keep him on the roster specifically for that role. So he would be the 30th man on the roster, and he would be a specialty player.
Yeah.
For that specific role.
That, or maybe in other times, I would run him in different mm-hmm. moments. Jetpacks is the second fastest on the roster. Maybe if he's not playing that particular day. I'm just wondering, I think that adds to the strategy, though. Who is best suited to just get me to third where I don't have to bunt? If I can get a guy who can just get to third,
mm-hmm.
I just think that would add a big weapon now.
Getting to third what? But via steal?
Via steal.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would have the couillons to try to steal third base in that situation.
Nobody?
No.
See, I think you, it's not conventional.
You run yourself right out of the inning. And you negate the advantage of having a man. See, it's better to have a guy on second base with three batters coming up than the risk of getting that guy thrown out at third base. So no manager, very rare, it would be a very rare occurrence you let a guy try to steal third there.
I'm thinking, yeah, obviously you don't want to make the third out at third base.
You don't want to make the first out either.
Right.
It's the first and third out that you don't want to make.
So one out, and you got a guy, I'm saying this is the fastest guy, I'm just wondering. Now,
yeah, it would be risky, but you would, if that guy doesn't make it, you're blowing your inning.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's been 11 times in the last 10 years where at the top and the bottom of the innings, guys got to second base with no outs and extras. Eight of those games ended right in that 10th inning. Only three of them went forward.
Okay.
So I think a lot of the games would end right there in that 10th inning with the second, if that held up. 8 out of 11 times where that's happened, where a guy got the second with less than two outs. Mm-hmm. It happened in the top and the bottom. The game did not go beyond the 10th inning.
All right, I'm going to make you a manager here because you brought up the steal in the third, which is a very radical but maybe advantageous thing to do. So you're the manager. You go, what's better in my head? Have him try to steal third or have the guy bunt him to third and have a guy on third with one out? Which is the sure thing.
Right.
The steal the third, the guy on third with no outs is not the sure thing. It's the risk.
Right.
So what if you're a manager, where do you go most of the time?
Most of the time you're going to bunt. But I like to have the option, the maybe.
Right. Hard to steal third.
It is hard.
It's a craft.
I don't think every reliever, once you get the extras, I don't know if every reliever is going to be good at holding runners on. Not all of them are good at it.
When you get
to the bullpen.
I got you.
If I get a guy with a big lead, I'm just saying I want to have in my box.
You got to make sure you're not a one looker.
Right.
The one looker is the guy who only checks once, and you develop a pattern where you see he's only looking at you once, and after he looks once, he's delivering the ball to the plate. If he's not, if he's a one looker, you can steal third. But then He may be one looker until he decides to be a two looker, and then you're done.
You did. You're right.
All right, let's go Jim and Ocel. Jim, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Jim. What's up, well, Jim?
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Love your show. As a former high school band director, I suggest that you try the flugelhorn.
Is the flugelhorn easier?
Yes.
I'm not going to go out and buy a flugelhorn if I've got a trumpet. If I can find my trumpet, I'm not going to, I'm not in the flugelhorn shopping.
You can do that.
Yeah. The flugelhorn is smaller, right?
Flugelhorn is bigger.
Oh, it's bigger?
It's an alto trumpet. Yeah, it's easier to play.
What's the smaller trumpet?
That's the
cornet?
It is.
Yeah, it's the cornet.
That's not bad either. But buy yourself a book called I Used to Play the Trumpet.
Well, okay. Jim, but you know the hardest thing is to get the lip back.
Yeah,
you got a trained lip. My lip was swollen all the time.
Yeah. Right. Try the flugelhorn. The mouthpiece is bigger.
Okay.
The bore of the tubing is bigger. It's easier
to
play.
How much is a flugelhorn these days?
Well, a used one, you should be able to get one for a couple hundred.
Really?
Maybe.
I might go online for the flugelhorn.
Go online and buy the book, I Used to Play the Trumpet.
Uh-huh.
It starts real easy and it progresses. And listen to Chuck Mangione.
Oh, I love Chuck Mangione.
Yeah,
he's from Pittsburgh. He had the beard.
I heard him in Bath, New York. He was up in Rochester. He might be from Pittsburgh.
I think he's from Pittsburgh originally. He had the beard and the funky hat.
Yeah.
You know, as a band director, Jim, what did your trumpet players do to fortify their lip?
I had a couple that took private lessons, but
what was the aid for the trumpet player?
Doc Severinsen warms up for 2 hours a day, and he's like 84 years old.
Yeah, to do something for your lip. To get your head back.
Yeah.
And we sucked
first
lemons.
You, purse your lips and buzz your lips.
Yeah, we sucked lemons.
I never heard of that.
Really?
I'm a percussionist.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that was the lemon. The lemon would bring your lip back.
Maybe. I don't know. But try the flugelhorn.
All right, I'll try the flugelhorn.
Get a flugelhorn.
Oh, we use that lemons.
Who knew?
And get your lip back tight.
Have you ever said this on the air before?
Yeah. In fact, I've talked about my buddy Matt Cappy, the professional trumpet player.
Yeah.
How we met was he heard me talking about that I had played the trumpet before. And a guy had sent me a really nice mouthpiece. I talked about this years ago before you guys were involved. And a guy sent me, he mailed me like two mouthpieces
that were
better than the ones I had.
Well,
because mouthpieces could be expensive.
A flugelhorn, you can get like a one on eBay for $1.50. How about
you don't want to use one, right? Well, I guess if you have the mouthpiece, it doesn't matter.
No, the mouthpiece is probably...
new one will run you like $600.
Yeah.
For a new flugelhorn. Yes.
Yeah, no wonder there was no instruments being played in Johnson House.
That's good brass. That's why.
Nice brass.
Good brass is expensive.
Solid brass.
All right, 610-632-0975. Yeah, see, we used to play like Gershwin and stuff. Like, I started in like elementary school. Like, they poach you for this stuff. So you started, they had this feeder program. We had a good music, we had a good band director in the Bristol Borough School. So it was always big. So they would poach you in elementary school and start you young.
Yeah.
And then your parents wouldn't let you give it up. So I had too concerned with playing sports, so I don't have time for this.
And to put the trumpet down.
And the trumpet was retired.
Yeah.
All right, Mike Missinelli Show, we're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
General Knowledge Wednesday. Yep, we're giving away gold dip roses courtesy of Steven Singer Jewelers. And today's General Knowledge is brought to us by Testo North America, the choice of HVAC techs who count on having the most accurate tools in their toolbox. When precision measurements matter, be sure with Testo. Now, if you don't win a gold dip rose, but I'm like giving them away like candy today. But if you don't win, all you have to do is go to IHateStevenSinger.com and purchase one. A portion of all roses sold will support local restaurants by catering meals for essential healthcare workers. Get yours at IHateStevenSinger.com. All right, let's go to Drew in Westchester. What's up, Drew?
Hey, what's going on, Mike? How you been, buddy?
Good, man.
Good. So I'm kind of thinking here with the baseball season now coming about that it's kind of almost too late because we've got hockey and we've got basketball coming up, which is going to be right in the thick of things. And then we've gone right into the football season. So I think baseball is going to kind of be, I guess, at least until it gets time towards, you know, the playoffs, it's going to be kind of towards the side of things for the most part.
Unless the Phillies get off to a good, if they get off to a good start, we'll be invested. We have plenty of time to see every sport because we've been without them so long that we'll make it a point to see them all.
Right. Yeah, that makes
sense. Now, if the Phillies, they're like 2-10, we're out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I guess that's true. It depends on what type of start the Phillies get out to, and then that'll see what type of fan base we're going to have, I guess.
Yes, and it could be interesting if they go 10-2 to start it. We go, hey, look at this. All they have to do is hold on here.
Yeah, it could be something. Yeah, it's anyone's game this year, that's for sure.
Uh-huh.
All right, Mike, thanks.
All right, man, here's your general knowledge question, and it is people who play musical instruments. So if I give you Benny Goodman and Woody Allen.
Wow.
What instrument am I talking about?
Was that the trumpet?
That's incorrect.
Okay.
The woodman used to play little concerts in the village with his clarinet.
Clarinet.
Woody Allen, the clarinet player.
Yes.
I wasn't aware
of that. Yes, oh, yeah. He used to go in Greenwich Village and play little clubs.
Little snake charmer?
Uh-huh.
That's the clarinet, right?
Yes.
Is that what you used to charm snakes?
I think so.
Is it?
I don't know.
Ty?
I don't know.
The clarinet is the, what do they call it, the liquor stick?
Yes.
Is that what they call it?
Yes.
So who's the most famous clarinetist? See, with my musical background, I know this. Artie Shaw.
I mean.
Artie Shaw.
How about that?
Wow.
Artie Shaw.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not the clarinet for the snake charmer.
What is it?
It's more of a
P-U-N-G-I. I don't want to mispronounce it.
Pungy, yeah, it's pungy. Not as sophisticated as a clarinet. It just has holes like that.
I don't know.
Yeah, it has one hole at the top and then small holes down the stem or whatever, and that's what you got.
Yeah, it's like the mystic in India would play that for the snake charmer.
Yes.
Was it just a clarinet lying around?
No, it was a clarinet.
It's Hindi.
Maybe that's why it never worked when I tried to charm snakes.
All right, Pat Newark. Pat, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Pat.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Pat?
Listen, a couple things for you. Number one, once the coronavirus started, the biggest thing was that people could, you know, you weren't supposed to touch your face. Mm-hmm. It took me almost 3 weeks to get used to not doing it because you do it not realizing it.
Yeah.
And I'm just concerned about the baseball players, the stuff that they do, you know, touching their hands and stuff like that. I just don't think it's going to work.
I think it's going to take repeat reminders. The spitting is like almost impossible not to do if you're a baseball player. But when they start spitting, it's going to have to be brought to their attention. And when anything's brought to your attention, you start thinking about it and you eventually can phase it out.
Yeah. And the second thing is I had called last week and I didn't hang on long enough to get a chance to win a rose. So I definitely want to try to win that.
Yeah, and listen, this is easy general knowledge. Okay, for you to win this rose. No, I think you're good. Okay. I'm going to make this so easy for you that it's ridiculous because I actually have a story coming up that's related. So who traditionally wears something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue?
A bride.
That's correct. So you win a rose.
All right,
Pat, congratulations. Sorry, I teased this story in the last hour. One of the great stories I've ever heard as far as a scorned husband.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So young couple, he goes through with the marriage ceremony, even though he discovers a couple days in advance that his wife has been a cheating scoundrel.
Ew.
And he finally gets the information on who exactly she cheated with. In fact, she cheated that week with somebody. The week of the wedding, he finds out. So he's able to identify like seven people? That she, like while being engaged to him, that she cheated with. And they're all people invited to the wedding. So he clandestinely, in the setup of the reception hall, he puts a red sticker. He finds out where all these dudes are sitting in the reception.
Yeah, he knows the seating chart as the groom.
He has the seating chart. Yeah. He puts a red sticker on the white plate that's laid out as the part of the, you know, the setup.
Yeah.
And so, like, the ceremony gets going, and he gets the microphone, and, you know, there's the happy groom, and everybody thinks he's going to tell his tale of how happy he is with Mary. And he tells the story of how unfaithful. He says, all right, I want everybody to look at their plate. If you have a red sticker on the bottom of your plate, please stand.
No.
So imagine what's going through her mind when she knows what she did, when
and,
all seven
and
of those
all
guys
stand up.
She has no idea until they all.
That's what I mean. Once they stand,
it's the dudes that stay. They look at the plate. The dudes stand. Now I assume they think he's going to say thanks for being our friends or whatever. He goes on and tells the whole ceremony that she's a cheating scoundrel, and that these are the guys that she's been unfaithful with to him. And the woman is like, she starts crying and freaking out, and he causes this big scene, but he does it with a smile.
Yeah.
And he says, now I'm leaving the ceremony. Everybody have a good time. I'm leaving the ceremony to start the annulment process. Drops the mic, walks out.
Brilliant, but also horrific.
What do you think of that, Ty?
Well, I love it. I love it. Yeah, that's
my man went the whole, he went the distance just so he could have that moment.
And who were the dudes? Were they his friends?
Yes, yeah.
Whew.
Friends of friends.
Yikes.
Like
snake.
I don't want to be judgy, McJudgerson, but this would apply to a man or a woman. If a man was up there and he had been with seven of the women in the ceremony, same, that's nasty. Like, I'm not talking about seven in your life. I'm being judged over your life. I'm saying.
In a year. While you're engaged. Yeah.
Seven? That's just nasty. Yeah. Like, you're nasty. What? Like, whatever. You're gross.
Why even get married? Why even go through with it if you still can't?
He wanted
no,
that.
No, I'm talking about her.
Oh, no, I know. I'm saying on her behalf.
Saying, why would she get married?
Yeah, why would she even get married if she still wants to be throwing it
gross.
Out there like that?
She probably saw the guy as a provider or whatever. You know?
None of those other guys had a job?
Well, then again, I don't know. I mean, who knows? But she obviously has some
a way about her.
Yeah. Yes.
Seven.
I don't know why.
Like, that's insane. Seven.
I wonder what the guys did.
I thought you were going to say two. And no, it was
seven.
Just too many.
Seven. He put seven. Yeah.
And he had no clue. And I mean, I guess he had to suspect it.
He had no. He didn't have a clue until he was told by a real close friend that like the guy. He checked out all the story and he found out that it was true somehow. And so
yeah, I guess
they
connect the dots.
To scheme it and do that.
I mean, good for him.
Yeah, so.
Yikes.
Seven, Mike? Seven?
Seven guys at the wedding got the red sticker.
And they have, and them showing up.
Right, like what kind of gall do you have to just, see, I would have just left.
Ethics.
There would have been, first of all, with my family, there would have been retribution.
Oh,
there would have
been
a situation that now you can't leave.
Yeah.
And all seven, they're going to be begging to leave. Like, it's going to be some real problems, all seven of you, because you came to my wedding. It's her fault, but you still come to the wedding? That's a beatdown coming to all seven of y'all.
There are people in this world that you'll never be able to understand.
And all eight of them fall under that category.
5 o'clock hour is next right here on the Mike Misnelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.